And we are back here on Amandla, an African Perspective, your source for news and views from the African continent. On the line, I have Firoz Manji. He is the co-editor with Bill Fletcher of a new book entitled Claim No Easy Victories, The Legacy of Amilcar Cabral. 2013 marks the 40th anniversary of the assassination of Amilcar Cabral, revolutionary poet, liberation philosopher, and leader of the independence movement of Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde. Cabral's influence stretched well beyond the shores of West Africa. He had a profound influence on the Pan-Africanist movement and the Black Liberation Movement in the U.S. In this unique collection of essays, contemporary thinkers from across Africa and internationally commemorate the anniversary of Cabral's assassination. They reflect on the legacy of this extraordinary individual and his relevance to contemporary struggles for self-determination and emancipation. Good afternoon, Firoz. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you so much for joining us. And before we start this interview and talk about the book and talk about the legacy of Cabral, I just want our listeners to know, as they might know already, that we are actually doing a Toronto launch of the book. That's next Saturday, August 30th, at a different book list. And Firoz Manji, along with a few of the contributors in the book, will be there. They'll make short presentations, and then we'll have a discussion about the legacy of Cabral, but also his relevance to Pan-Africanist struggles today. So Firoz, thank you so much again for joining us. So if you can maybe tell us a bit about how you and Bill Fletcher, thought of bringing this book to life. What was it that prompted you to do this?
Well, last year was the 40th anniversary of Amilcar Cabral's assassination. A couple of years earlier, I'd been to Guinea-Bissau, and while I was there, I thought I would pay my respects to the memory of Cabral by visiting his mausoleum. And you'd be amazed. It took 2 weeks to negotiate with the military authorities to have permission to do this, because the mausoleum is right in the middle of the military headquarters in Bissau. Even when I got there to try to go in, it took half an hour of negotiation. I had to go across the road to buy flour from the military shop and spend $80 in order to get in. I was accompanied by the military to the mausoleum, took photographs and so on. And it occurred to me as I was leaving that, even in death, he is feared by the descendants of his killers. He was killed by his own compatriots, by his own comrades. And I remember asking, how do people in Guinea-Bissau, how do citizens come and pay their respects? And the military guy said to me, well, they're free to come anytime they like. But it occurred to me then that the military recognizes that memorials are more about the future than about the past. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we face across the continent is a whole series of dispossessions. You know, we all talk about the dispossession of natural resources, of land, of jobs, of the material standard of living. But there are other forms of dispossessions that we forget about. And one of the most striking ones is the dispossession of memory. Young people don't know about Cabral. They don't know about Fanon. They don't know about Nkrumah. They don't know about the relevance of all these thinkers to our struggles today. And Cabral is in my view, along with Fanon, the two leading theoreticians on African revolution today. And both of their writings are relevant today as ever more than before. Cabral was not just a theoretician of liberation. He was a scientist. He was an agronomist. He was also a poet and somebody who worked with peasants and did something quite remarkable. I think what marks him out against all the other leaders of revolutions was that he sought to create today in the liberated zones the kind of society we want to live in tomorrow. In other words, he wasn't just an idealist. Mm-hmm. He was there, practical, wanting to build a society today that bore all the values that we want to have. The involvement of women, the involvement of youth, the decommoditization of life. Mm-hmm. And yet it was that practical understanding of the lives of ordinary people that really marks him out. And people forget that Cabral was not only the founder of the PAIGC, the Party for the Liberation of Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde, but he was also a founder of the Angolan Liberation Movement, MPLA, and the Mozambican Liberation Movement, Frelimo. So in that sense, he was a real internationalist. Mm-hmm.
And so for those of us, for those of our audience listening that maybe don't know too much about the history and the bio of Amilcar Cabral, can you just tell us a bit about that as you started to do, but maybe you start a bit earlier? I mean, how did he get into the liberation struggle? You know, what was his background, et cetera?
Well, yes, I mean, Guinea-Bissau is a small country on the west coast of Africa, which was cruelly colonized by the Portuguese, and who led a state of terror in that country. Cabral trained as an agronomist, an agricultural economist. He studied in Lisbon. He went back home and was employed by the Portuguese state to carry out one of the most deep and most intensive studies of agricultural production across Guinea-Bissau. And so he became familiar with the trials and tribulations of ordinary people to determine their future, to make out a living. And it was through that process that he realized that there was no question of being able to negotiate any freedom from the Portuguese. Remember, the Portuguese at that time, Portugal itself was ruled by a fascist dictatorship of Salazar. And Cabral's development of a liberation movement to free Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde and to free the Portuguese colonies in Angola and Mozambique actually resulted in the overthrow of the fascist dictatorship in Europe. So it's one of the really important things that people forget, that our revolutions in Africa have had a profound effect on the body politic of Europe. And so, you know, he one of the most remarkable things I think he was known for, and I think many of the contributors to the volume, people like Angela Davis, David Austin, Nigel Gibson, Samir Amin, and others, all point to the fact that his understanding of culture was really critical for developing a revolution. He wrote, "Culture is an essential element of the history of a people. Culture is perhaps the product of this history, just as a flower is a product of a plant. Like history, or because it is history, culture has its material base at the level of productive forces and the mode of production." And he really understood that. And he pointed out, like others have since pointed out, that, you know, that imperial domination, and that's true not only under colonial times, but even today, succeeds by denying our historical development, by denying our history, by denying our cultural development. And he pointed out that actually it was a necessary function. And you see it today in neoliberalism, the CNN culture, that it must eliminate our culture, because it is from our own culture that our resistance will come. And he pointed out that, you know, what many people on the left think, that that, you know, the contact with empire, contact with imperialism, brought us into history. And he said, no. We consider that imperialism arrived in Guinea, it made us leave history. It leave our history. And so you know, it's a really important point, because then we need to understand ourselves. We need to look at our own civilizations that go back thousands of years across Africa, and that, you know, we need to understand that, because that is reconstituting our own identity. And history is about the future. It's not about the past. We're claiming our history in order to forge our identity, to be clear about the kind of people we want to be, the kind of world we want to live in.
And I think Cabral was very clear on that, that even when we think about culture, it's not this kind of mythical romanticization of the past, but it's very much future-oriented. On the same kind of tip as Fanon. And as you had mentioned, these are, you know, two of the most profound theorists, especially around issues, or especially around this idea of culture. But Cabral has also, you know, contributed a lot to our ideas of, for example, peasant struggles, to our ideas of class suicide. So what are some of the other theoretical and historical contributions that Cabral's work has brought to the African struggle?
Well, you've mentioned one, and this whole idea of class suicide. I mean, one of the things that it provoked a lot of debate around was Cabral's realized that if peasant societies, if the oppressed to really build a movement and build a society for tomorrow, then we need to capture the intellectuals. We need to win people to the revolution. And because they have skills, they have understanding, which are, or can service the needs of the revolution, and so he phrased this in terms of saying that the middle classes, the petty bourgeois, as he called them, need to commit class suicide. The problem with the middle class, the problem with the petty bourgeoisie, is that they are vacillating class. You know, they vacillate between, well, one day wanting to make a fast buck, the other day to ally themselves with struggles, and so are not the most reliable. And the sad thing is that history proved that, you know, he was assassinated by his own comrades, and it was the sort of petty bourgeois elements within the PIGC which then took over. But the other thing I think that people have not given sufficient attention to, and which I wrote about very recently, is, you know, it came out of a sort of question of, you know, why is it that we in Africa have so many despotic governments? And one of the things that Cabral was very clear about is that he did not think that independent movements would take over the colonial state apparatus and use it for its own purpose. The way he put it is that he said it wasn't the color of the administrator that was the issue, but the fact that there was an administrator. He went on, we don't accept any institution of the Portuguese colonialists. We are not interested in the preservation of any of the structures of the colonial state. And he went on, it is our opinion that it is necessary to totally destroy, to break, to reduce to ash all aspects of the colonial state in our country in order to make everything possible for our people. And I think this is a really important lesson, because the colonial state, the capitalist state, is designed specifically to protect and advance the interests of a class who benefit, who are parasitic on the labor and resources of our countries. And they have, you know, they constructed a police force, an army, a secret police, all these weapons of the state in order to protect and advance those interests. Now, you know, we take over, we win an election, we take over government, then the state we take over is still a state which serves those interests. And it's not surprising that, you know, any of those who made any sort of radical moves were then assassinated, or there was a coup d'etat often carried out by the army. And so, you know, one of the lessons I think we need to think about today is, what do we do about the state? You know, is winning government enough? And one of the things that I think was really remarkable about the Guinea-Bissau revolution was that Cabral understood that it wasn't a question of elections, you know, that the ballot box wasn't going to satisfy things. What you had to do was to democratize every aspect of society. Who decides what is produced, how it's produced, where it's produced, when it's produced, for whom is it produced, how is it produced, who benefits from that production? He understood those things very, very deeply. And it's something that we need to address in our lives today. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, we're allowed to vote, you know, maybe once every 4 years. But actually the ruling class votes every day on the stock exchange. Not every day, every hour, every minute, every second. And the decisions they make in their voting on stock exchange affects our lives. You know, today we have billions of people who are starving, who are hungry. They're hungry not because there isn't food. Today there is more food than ever before in history. It's because the price of food, the availability of food, is not there. So billions are starving not because there isn't food, but because food is now speculated upon as a commodity on the stock exchange.
Exactly. And I mean, definitely these issues we'll continue to discuss when we launch the book in Toronto. And it will be taking place at a different book list this coming Saturday, August 30th. And a different book list, of course, is located at Bloor and Bathurst, just south of Bloor on the west side. And Feroz, you'll be joining us. And a few of the contributors from the book will be joining us. And I'm looking here at the list, and you've mentioned a few of the contributors. It is an amazing collection of people. I mean, from superstars like Samir Amin and Angela Davis to very local Toronto folks like Amit Loh, who's a host of this show. So it is you guys have, like, you know, I think amassed maybe the most comprehensive analysis of Amilcar Cabral that I've ever seen. And if you could just maybe for a few minutes touch on maybe what some of the issues that some of these contributors are discussing in their contributions to the book.
Right. I mean, the thing about this book is that, you know, if you put a Australian book like this together, you know, you write to 20 people and maybe 10 people will reply. We wrote to 20 people and we got 40 replies. It's a tribute to Cabral that should have happened. But it's been really interesting. But there are aspects like, for example, I didn't realize when I was bringing the book together how important Cabral was for the Black Liberation Movement in North America and Canada included. And so his influence there is also something that's talked about. The Guinea-Bissau Revolution transformed the lives of women, and we've looked at and have essays on the transformations that took place in the role of women in leading the revolution in Guinea-Bissau. We've also had some really interesting tales from young people. There's a really interesting essay by a couple of young Guinea-Bissauans who have written about the use of rap music, how today rap music in Guinea-Bissau draws on the writings and thinking of Cabral, something that very few people realize. So Cabral, in spite of being assassinated, in spite of being locked up in a mausoleum in the military headquarters, is still a living force in Guinea-Bissau. So there are many different dimensions that are dealt with, the whole issue of culture and what it means. It's really very interesting to see how many different aspects of lives that Cabral touched upon, and as I've spoken about, also the cultural dimensions, which are really important. The education aspect, Cabral's writings on what education is about, that, you know, education is a means by which people gain an authority over their own experience. It's not about putting ideas in people's head, but giving them the space to grow and be creative. So you know, we have somebody here, Cabral, who's quite a remarkable a person, a polymath, you know, and all the really great people were polymaths. You know, they were experts in so many different fields.
Great, Firoz. I'm definitely looking forward to the book launch and looking forward to having you again in Toronto. Thank you very much for joining us today on the program, telling us about Cabral and about this really amazing book. And just again to remind our audience that we will be doing a Toronto launch of the book. It will be taking place this coming Saturday, August 30th. At a different book list. I don't think I've mentioned the time. 4 to 6 p.m. at a different book list, which is located at 746 Bathurst Street, which is just south of Bloor on the west side of Bathurst Street. Different book list's always been a great supporter of such initiatives. And if you need more information, you can email us at grillatour, which is grillatour at gmail.com. Also, check out the event on Facebook. You could just look up Claim No Easy Victories and it should pop up. And of course, check our website, grilla.org. That's grilla.org. And Firoz, once again, thank you so much and looking very forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Thanks for having me on the show and for organizing this event.
Great. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye. And that was Firoz Manji, who is the co-editor, along with Bill Fletcher, of a new edited volume on the life and legacy of Amilcar Cabral called Claim No Easy Victories, The Legacy of Amilcar Cabral. The book is available widely on Amazon and whatnot. But as I mentioned, we'll be doing a Toronto book launch, and you can come and get a copy of the book.